Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Your statement saved you. Well, so good to be in the house of the Lord on a very special day, Christmas Day. Huh? So beautiful. And you all look the same, full of radiance and full of steadfastness. These are the inner qualities that just shines, you know. And it's so good on Christmas Day to witness the splendor of God in you. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word. And we want to really receive from the Lord the substance, huh? The glory is a substance, is the weight from God. So, Father, we thank you so much that you have given us the joy to witness the glory of God. And the glory of God has got weight and there is substance. So this morning, give to us the bread, give to us the sustenance, give to us what we need, O Lord, to give our soul substance. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take from a very familiar passage for Christmas, and that's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. During Christmas, this has always been read, and I hope that I'll be able to bring a word that is in season to you for this Christmas. Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I entitled my sermon this morning, "Touched by Heaven." I was reading all the prayers in our Prayer Connect, and a phrase from Rajiv just hit me when I was trying to think of a good title. So, Rajiv, I want to tell you that I've thought of three titles, and you gave me the fourth one, and that is "Touched by Heaven." Touched by Heaven. When you are touched by heaven, the darkness on earth is dispelled. And the glory of God descends, but this time it was in a form of an angel and a great company of the heavenly host. See, usually angels are invisible, but here in Luke 2, the angels reveal themselves to mere men. The heavenly light shone around the shepherds. They were mere men, shepherds, doing their tending of the sheep. But the heavenly light shone around the shepherds. It was not magical. You know, sometimes when you see the lights, especially when you see festival of lights, it's like, wow, so magical. It was not magical. It was glorious. And the glory was so weighty, the glory was so substantial that the shepherds felt it. They felt it in their heart. They were terrified. It was not something they had experienced before, because when they were tending their sheep, no wolf would have frightened them. No intruder would ever intimidate them. In fact, the shepherds are there to protect the sheep from all these wolves and all these intruders. But when the shepherds were touched by heaven, it had an awesomeness that grabbed their attention. The shepherds were charged with a mission of going in hunt for the Savior. This is Christmas Eve, and I pray that this Christmas Eve, the Lord will meet you where you are, seated wherever you are, and the Lord will charge you with a mission in your life that will make your life has meaning and a quest. The question then is, are you willing to go in search of the Savior and His plan for you and find meaning and a quest. When you have got meaning for your life and when you are on a quest in your life will be quite different. Today, I pray that the Lord will charge you and give you that strength and that meaning and that quest. See, at Christmas, we see angels everywhere. Christmas trees have got angels. The walls have got angels. Shopping malls has got angels. But here in Luke chapter 2, the angels appear to people. And they appear to people to bring good news from heaven. And that's why angels are called the messengers of God. And Christmas must remind us the unseen world of angels is real. In fact, today we are standing on holy ground because we are standing with angels all around. You know that song, huh? We are standing, voice still not 100%, on holy ground. You know the song. We are standing with angels all around. We are standing with angels all around because angels like to worship God. And when we worship God, the angels worship with us. Angels, I don't talk a lot about angels, but this morning is going to be a good portion of my time on angels and messengers from God. They have got very great power. In fact, the Bible called them in Psalm 103, verse 20, the mighty ones. They are called the mighty ones who act according to God's word. They are the one who will carry out God's plan and bring messages to people. So if God has an idea, the angels carry out God's ideas. And I have got good news for you. Angels are here to serve us. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, are the angels not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who obtain salvation? Whew. And angels love to look into the great plan God has designed for every believer each day. Do you know God has a plan for all of us? And God allows the angels to look upon those plans that God has for you with longing. It's like the angels wish, I wish I'm like Pastor Stewart, able to live out the plan and design of God. I wish I can be like Twilly, be able to live out the plan of God. They long to look into the plans that God has for us. I was just telling my, you know, I do a gym. I do a Zoom gym every Tuesday. Since COVID, I have been gymming with my friends in Singapore. And so I told them, I said, this Sunday, I'm going to preach on the angels. And my friend said, I've got a story to tell about an encounter. Up to now, she doesn't know whether it's an angel, but you decide for her, okay? She said, you know, it was a time that she was having a really, really rough time. Mother was unwell. She had to take care of the whole family. It was really, really tough. And she didn't even have 1 ounce of energy left. And she was walking around like a phantom, you know, just not having the spirit within her. And out of the blue, a stranger came to her and told her in Mandarin. He said, it's okay. Everything will be all right. And then he left. She was trying to go after him to say thank you, but he left in such a hurry, there was no time even to thank him. I let you decide, because she just told me the story, and I'm not a prescriber. I don't prescribe things. I listen and I receive things. I let you receive that piece of testimony. But angels inhabit the believer's world in the Bible too. When the Lord opened up Elisha's servant's eyes, Elisha's servant saw the invisible world of the angels. He saw the angels coming to Dothan to protect Elisha from the Syrians. The angel was sent into the den of Daniel. If you think you are alone in a cave somewhere, the angel of the Lord came to Daniel and shut the mouths of the lion. Whoa. The angels delivered the apostles from prison. They were in prison. There's no way to get them out of prison. The angels came, unlocked the prison, and delivered the apostles from prison. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the wilderness, and when he was in a garden of Gethsemane, no more human strength in him, the angel came to minister to him. You know, Auntie Joyce lived up to a ripe old age. And I remember Auntie Joyce sharing this testimony with me, and it's up to you again to interpret the existence of angels through this testimony. Auntie Joyce says, "I'm not afraid." I said, "Well, you live alone, you're not afraid." He said, "No, I'm not afraid." And he said, and she said, because the Lord gave her a vision of two angels always standing in front of the door to guard the house. It's up to you to receive this testimony. But perhaps you are in a situation that makes you feel like you got to face the giants alone, like everything seems to be bigger, everything seems to be harder to handle. But I want to say, church, God has rallied the power of the angels to help you. And your angels witness your lonely struggles daily, and the mighty host of heaven is truly on your side. And Christmas, so nice, Christmas is God's great opportunity to tell the world that he is very present with us and that his angels guard and protect us. And that's why in Psalm 91, if you read verses 11 to 12, God says he will give his angels charge over you to guard you, to protect you, and in the hands of the angels, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And children, you are here in this service. Some children are here in this service. The Bible tells us about angels for the children. It says in Matthew 18:10, it says, in heaven, their angels, the children's angels, always behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. See, when you are touched by heaven, you'll be aware of angels in your lives because God will use these heavenly beings to communicate information to us. He did it with the shepherds. He did it with the wise men. He will do it for us. But I want to have a disclaimer. Don't go angel hunting. Don't kind of like say, oh, I don't know whether I'm entertaining a stranger who is an angel. And you kind of like keep asking questions and, oh, are you an angel? Don't go angel hunting. And also don't worship angels. Don't worship them because they are great in their protective power. Just be grateful. And today, full of knowledge that God uses everything, including angels, to serve and love us. I dare not say that all of us have one guardian angel. A lot of people, they put things around their beds and around their house thinking they have got one guardian angel. I think God is greater than that. Huh? God will lead you and charge you and guide you with angels in numbers that God thinks is fit for you. But angels are the messengers of God. Have an open heart towards them. The angel came to proclaim Messiah. That's the only job. Angels have power, but their power is always directed to the Messiah. And that's why in Luke 2, verses 11 to 12, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This morning we sang songs on the Messiah. The Messiah is the anointed one. They call him Messiah because he's anointed and the chosen one. He's the Son of God, the anointed one, appointed and given authority to redeem the world so that his great kingdom will not be a political one. His great kingdom will be a spiritual one. His great kingdom will not be a temporary one. His great kingdom will be an eternal one. Because Messiah, this title, was actually given to a title in the political world. But Jesus did not come to win battles in the political world. Jesus saw himself as a servant of God. And that's why he is not seduced by power. He doesn't need political power. He doesn't need that sort of popularity, because Jesus came as a servant of God. In fact, he came, Bible tells us, as a baby. So humble. Definitely this idea of coming as a baby to be the Messiah of the world is God's idea. Because man will want to come and charge the whole earth with the Messiah all over, you know, signboard and Instagram and everything, right? But the Bible tells us the Father has an idea, and the idea is a humble one, a very powerful one, where Messiah comes as a baby. We often hear on Christmas Eve gifts that the three wise men would bear and give it to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This morning, as I was reading these scriptures that I've been hearing for all the last 30 over years, I got an inspiration, I got an idea that it was not just the wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. Jesus gave gifts to us. And he bears gifts that are spiritual and out of this world and so needed in our daily lives. Because without these gifts that I'm going to tell you later, and that Jesus is giving you or has given you already, we will be mean and the world will be nasty. So the truth is, Jesus has come to give us these gifts and got the angels to announce those gifts. And I pray that at Christmas Eve, that God will touch you with a touch from heaven. Just one touch, huh, Rajiv? Just one touch. Just one touch from heaven. You'll be able to know how to use these gifts that the Lord Jesus wants to give us today. But you know something? Even if you've got a very good gift, if you don't know how to use it, it will not be a good gift. Isn't it true? Huh? If God wants to give you all the good gifts, but you only store them in a cupboard, which we all do, huh? A lot of Christmas presents. Don't re-gift them. No, it's okay. Do whatever you want. And those are your gifts. They are yours. Do whatever you want. But those gifts are very good. But if you don't find any good in them, you won't use them. That's why we need God to help us. Just one touch from heaven. And you use all the gifts that God wants to give to you. Tell you a personal story, kitchen story, because my mom is here for 6 weeks, so my kitchen gets revolutionized. And I've got a son-in-law who can cook, and he came to rearrange everything, which is really good, because now it's really nice and good flow in the kitchen. I tell you a kitchen story. I've got a gift, a very good gift, actually. It was a cast iron pan. How many of you use cast iron pan? Oh, see, these are the chefs. I was given this cast iron chef, and I didn't know how to use it because I was told you got to oil it, and I find it a little bit troublesome, you know, every time to oil it, I find it troublesome. So it was a white elephant in my kitchen cabinet for a long time until this time my son-in-law and my daughter and my granddaughter came and visit us, and then he found my cast iron pan at the corner of the cabinet. And he decided to use it to fry salmon fillets. I said, oh, that's the wrong pan to fry salmon fillet. You fry it in a non-stick pan. Ayaw. Forgive me, chefs. I'm so bad a chef. Anyway, he took my cast iron pan and did a good job with the salmon fillet. It was so delicious Not only that, he said he's going to go back to Berlin because he stays in Berlin. He said, I'm going to go back to Berlin and get myself a cast iron pan. And then he oiled my pan properly and gave it a good rub. And then brought me a fish spatula to fry fish on that cast iron pan. Good gift. Don't know how to use. But now I know. I won't give it away. Messiah's gifts are here to anoint us for a better life, for better service to other people. And God is happy to show us how to use our gifts. That's why Darlene Check, worship leader of Hillsong, many, many years ago, says we need to touch heaven to change earth. Don't change earth with earth's methods. Change earth with God's methods, because God knows how to show us how to use those gifts for the betterment of our lives and for the betterment of people's lives. This Christmas and this Christmas Eve, would you let the message of Christmas change you? Would you let a touch from heaven make a difference in your life and in the life of other people? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels distribute these gifts, and I'm going to tell you, you know, this is like holding you in suspense. What are they? What are they? I want my gift. I want my gift now. The angels distribute these gifts airborne, like delivery by drones. Huh? You get drones and delivering things, and drones coming to check on things, you know. Angels distribute these gifts airborne, because in Luke 2:10, and in Luke 2:14, the message that the angel brought to us on earth is, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I like to read from New King James Version, Luke 2:14. It says, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I like the word goodwill. I love it. God's gifts to you are joy, peace, and goodwill. How you like that? Whew. You will like it after I explain to you. See, you are the composite of the divine and the earthly. Because when you are touched by heaven, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through no effort of yours, but solely the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. Eternity of God is set in your heart, and you begin to receive from God whatever that is in his heart. You begin to live life different, and your perspectives change. Because the Bible tells us you are raised with Christ, and you are seated with him in heavenly places. And therefore, because you are in a heavenly place with Christ, you live the upper life. You don't live the lower life. When you live the higher life, you will experience the joy of God. This is the first gift, the joy of God. Angel says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. That's why we sing the song, Joy to the World, for the Lord is come. See, because of the Christ in you, you can experience joy right now in this season. My mom's 84 years old. She always says, you know, 你要开心啊. Chinese means, you know, you must open your heart, open-hearted. It means happy. You need to be happy. Open your heart. Kai Sing, open your heart. I pray that you'll be touched by the joy of heaven to enjoy your life in Christ. The joy of finding the right present for the right person this Christmas. Be joyful. Yeah? The joy of planning your Christmas dinner. It's a joy that we can cook and use the cast iron pan. The joy of knowing Christ, the joy of your family with you, friends with you, the joy of being a child of God, the joy of seeing people find God for themselves, the joy of having hope. We have the joy because it's a gift from the Lord. Demas Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen, said, Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. And I think the reason is because the joy giver is in you. Jesus, the Lord, who is the joy giver, is in you. But some of you may say, but I don't have this joy right now because I'm going through a tough time. The Bible says to count it all joy, even if you are in diverse testings. Because as I said the last time in the other message, with tests come testimonies. With scars, you can become stars in God's economy. Not in the worldly economy, but when you have scars in life, when you go through hard times, hey, you're a star for the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ under testing. And it's good during this time not to follow your feelings. Huh? When you're going through a tough time, don't follow your feelings. Lead your feelings to praise the Lord like the angels. Glory to God in the highest. And in fact, I would say inform your feelings that, hey, this is the way to live supernaturally in the strength of God. You inform your feelings that it is good to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. And where did Paul make this statement? In prison. Only the Spirit of God can make a statement through a person in diverse testing by asking him to rejoice. Because it's just counter-opposed to man's ideas. But when you're going through a hard time, rejoice. Because rejoicing is an action. Rejoicing is an activity. And that's why here it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And for God to announce the Son, he announced it with a roar in heaven. Because it is an activity, is an action. God took an action. God took an activity to celebrate this moment, Christmas Day. Because the world that is degenerating is now redeemed, and a thrill of hope for the weary world rejoices. A thrill of hope for the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks, come on together, a new and glorious morn. Yeah, because the world is redeemed. And that's why the angels and the hosts of heaven came along to give a shout, give a roar, declare in joy. The joy of the Lord, touched by heaven. And when you can practice all these joyful actions, the joy of the Lord truly is your strength. And when you carry out these actions, when you praise the Lord, even in bad times, you will sense the touch of heaven. Hallelujah. Huh? Good gift? First gift? Second gift, peace. The angels declare glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Why on earth peace? Because they declare Jesus as the Prince of Peace. He is the bearer of this great gift of peace. There is a first century pagan writer by the name of Epictetus. He says, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns for more than even outward peace. But the good news is the Lord gives us inward peace and outward peace. When you are touched by heaven, which he is doing today, you know, he's touching you by heaven's blessings, you will enjoy quietness and rest. You will enjoy an inner satisfaction of contentment, serenity, and well-being. And you will be enabled to have harmonious relationships with others with little conflict. I think when we are shocked or shaken or shattered, we need to make it our number one goal to remain calm. How many of us know that on average, the mental traffic in a person's mind is 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts? That's a lot of thoughts. And if you have a lot of wrong thoughts, you're activated 50,000 times each day, huh? It will lead to a wrong destination. And if you are anxious, it will lead you to outcomes which will not be beneficial to us. And then you won't have the peace that God told us about. Be very careful of the thought carriages that we are hopping on. If it is a lousy thought, tell the carriage, I'm sorry, I'm jumping on another carriage. I'm not coming on. We were in Japan several years ago, and we were told by the train person to hop on carriage 3. And so we were going to the airport, and so we just hop on to, we saw 3, and it's just, that's it, we hop on to the train. And then after several minutes, it was like in a whoop-whoop place, you know, countryside. And we didn't know where we are. And finally, we said, no, I think we got to get off the train because it was going nowhere. We were trying to go to the airport. And we came down and then we realized that we did not go to carriage 3. We went to door 3. When you go into door 3, in the middle of the journey of the trip, the train actually would split tracks. And we went on to whoop whoop, and the other train, which is carriage 3, and door don't know what, went to the airport. See, if you are anxious and keep having thoughts that are bad, and you keep hopping on to those bad carriages, you're going to be not feeling the peace. So you're going to stay away from stories of doom and gloom that you tell yourselves every day that will trigger memories of very unpeaceful events in your lives. Let this mental chatter cease because they are not in accordance with God's perspectives. If we keep rehearsing, retelling all these stories that are going to make us feel chaotic and conflictual inside, then you end up keep believing them. And it's no fun. And it's not peaceful. And I pray that you won't also have very deep conversation always. Don't always seek for deep, deep conversation. 100% always wanting deep, meaningful conversation that are very intense and very unpeaceful, very chaotic. Every time you see someone, you talk about all these things that are not happy. Hey, stop, don't. You can engage in deep conversation once in a while. You can talk with a counselor once in a while, huh? But don't keep repeating stories that are not peaceful all the time, because the angels came and proclaimed the peace giver and give us good news. And the good news is he's giving us a gift called peace, which is not disorder, peace, which is not unrest. It was peace that God wants to give us to settle our hearts so that we are able to live effectively in this very chaotic and frantic, frenzied world. Okay, have you done your Christmas shopping? Okay, have no frenzy, have no anxiety in your heart. Afterwards, go slowly, move out, and then go and do your shopping. Peace! So God gives you joy, God gives you peace, and God wants to give you goodwill. Glory to God. In the highest and on earth, goodwill towards man. I love this word, goodwill, because really it is the will to do good. You do good out of kindness. You don't do good out of obligation. You don't do good because somebody does good to you. You don't scratch somebody's back because that your back has been scratched. You do good. You extend a good action to another person out of kindness, and you give it without expecting anything in return. That's goodwill. You go to the shop and you want 1 kilo of cherries, and the shop gives you 1.25 kilos of cherries, and the shop says, go ahead, Merry Christmas. That's goodwill. Didn't ask for your money back. That's goodwill. And be kind for kindness sake. Be good for goodness sake. Don't aim to be right. Aim to be kind this Christmas. The angels proclaim goodwill towards man. And the reason why we can do this, the reason why we can go the extra mile, is because heaven downloads goodwill through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus himself drew near to us in goodwill and acceptance. The Lord is kind by choice and also by nature. And whatever is good and beneficial to man, God will never withhold it and leave it in heaven's door. No, he will never withhold it. He gives up everything, including his son, so that he can give us the favor, the good pleasure, the satisfaction, and the happiness that we need on earth. This Christmas, don't be overcome by feelings of offense. Don't be overcome by resentment or retaliation. Out of goodwill, dissolve all these negative feelings and choose to respond in gentleness, in kindness. So like, you know, if somebody didn't serve you coffee, it can be anybody, someone in church, someone at home, someone in the office. Oh, you didn't serve me coffee. Never mind. Tell yourself. Change your script. I don't need to be served. Change your script. I can help myself. Wow. The most independent people are the best. They're easy to serve because they don't need to be served. Out of goodwill, we can in fact say, I can make you coffee if you like. So if somebody didn't give you coffee, hey, don't gripe, don't groan. Make your own coffee. And guess what? Make coffee for the other person who didn't give you coffee. No, I'm just being very petty, but this is a very trivial example in life sometimes that we can extend goodwill to other people. The reason why we can practice goodwill, the reason why we can have kindness, the reason why we need not have ulterior motives, that we give out of our hearts sincerely, is simply because God is on our side helping us to be able to practice this great gift that God has given to us through the angels. In Philippians 2:13, it says, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work on behalf of his good pleasure. The Message Bible reads it this way. He says, be energetic, and I charge you, be energetic in your life of salvation. Not just be energetic watching, you know, a lot of football games or basketball games. No, no, no. Be energetic. Oh, watch that also. That is good. Yeah, good adrenaline. But be energetic in your life of salvation, because that energy, Eugene Peterson says, that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, and that God himself is willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. In other words, when God sees you practicing goodwill, he is very pleased. He loves it. He loves it to see you awake from every night's sleep, and then you're doing goodwill, and you are joyful, and you are peaceful. God loves it because he knows that his presence is in you. No wonder Christmas is a time of giving. The question is, what is the Lord impressing you to give this Christmas? Give out of goodwill. Give without expecting anything in return. And you experience the joy of goodwill. Heaven touched earth. Be touched by heaven. When Christ is born into the world, heaven touched earth. And we thank God for the messengers, the angels, for being in our midst. We are also grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, for redeeming us and inducting us into his kingdom, which is not temporary, it's eternal. And it's glorious, not magical. It's glorious. It's very, very different. If you want magical, Disneyland is the place. If you want glorious, the presence of God is glorious for this earth as well as in the next life with the Lord. And then we receive messages and gifts of joy, peace and goodwill born by the angels. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Help us to be aware of the divine, be aware of the spiritual. Help us not to be sucked in by the physical and the earthly and the mundane existence that we have as a person. Help us to be alert to the kingdom that is within us, the kingdom that is in God. I pray, Father, that our eyes will be open and our hearts will be open, Lord, to see you revealed in your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for angels that come and carry messages from God to bless us. Thank you for angels. Hallelujah. Help us to be aware, dear Lord, that angels inhabit the world of God. And we, being in the world of God, experience touches from heaven in a very supernatural way. I pray, dear God, your people, Lord, will be blessed and strengthened. Especially during times, oh dear Lord, where our strength is ebbing, I pray that our eyes will be lifted up to watch what God wants to do in our lives, to watch what God is doing, to be aware of divine activity. Oh, hallelujah. Dear Lord, let this Christmas not be a time only of gift giving and gift receiving, but be a time where we can come to your presence and say, oh, dear Lord, we want those gifts that can satisfy our very inside. We want joy. We want peace. We want goodwill that can only come from heaven. I pray, dear Lord, you download. Download all the gifts, dear Lord, to your people. And I pray that, Lord, as a people, we will receive these gifts and use them. Oh, use them well. Hallelujah. I speak peace to you. Hearts that are very unrested. Hearts that are troubled even. I pray the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus this morning. I pray for hearts that have not been laughing for a long time. Or cynical, or critical, or practical, or logical. I pray, dear God, your joy from heaven, oh God, will be released into your people, that we will learn how to laugh. We will learn how to enjoy the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And Father, I pray that goodwill will be also in our hands to give away to those who need. And we pray that, God, you will take away all selfish motives, so that when we give with a willing heart, with an open heart, and that we will not expect anything in return. Dear Lord, we sense your presence this morning, and we know that, Lord, you are here for your people. You want to tell your people that you got it. You got it. You have messengers. Through angels, messengers, through people, messengers from the Bible characters. You have got all these people reserved to tell us what we need, oh God, for this life. We thank you for that. Thank you for that, oh Lord Jesus. Only you know what is in our hearts and know how to satisfy our hearts from very deep inside. And today, dear Lord, let that satisfaction from God come upon your people. Let the problems that we face shrink in size, and let our image of the Lord be increased to know what you can do, dear God, for your people. This morning, our hearts are grateful, and we thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, amen.
Amen. Why don't we stand up and we sing this song?